Starsports.bet provide the complete betting experience. Find us online via our website and app, on course, and at our flagship betting shop in London's Mayfair. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, Tiger!
A very warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day are reunited. We haven't been together for a few weeks for various reasons, but we're back looking ahead to the Turkish Airlines Open. And we'll look back on what happened last week. Rory got the job done and people I have never heard of dominated the other tournament over in Bermuda. So I should imagine it's pretty good news on the one hand for bookmakers and bad news on the other. But we will go into last week in slightly greater depth now. Before we do so, though, a quick catch-up with the boys. Steve, where have you been? You've been away for a couple of weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, it's half-term week, wasn't it? So I had to visit some extended family. And then after that, I got fully engaged in the Rugby World Cup final. I don't know how much you threw yourself into that, but that was a disastrous one to get heavily involved in, wasn't it?
It was. I was in Los Angeles, and it was on at 2 a.m. over there. And my friend said, I'll come and I'll set the alarm. I'll wake you up. I said, no, absolutely not. Not interested.
I was in the pub at 8:15 a.m. It was, it's hardly good timings over here, really, if you like a drink with your sport. But, the pub opened at 8:15 a.m., and I watched it in the pub. And, the atmosphere was amazing beforehand, and then just immediately it dropped. It was desperate stuff, wasn't it?
It was absolutely appalling match, wasn't it? I mean, as a spectacle, it was terrible. Were you doing swing low and doing all the actions in the pub and that kind of thing? Did you get that into it?
Well, being in a pub at 8:15 a.m. was so exciting for me, as you can imagine. So I was really, really into it. And then as soon as that fella got injured straight away, I know nothing about rugby, but Masher was next to me and he was going, "Oh, that's it, we've had it." You know, this was a key player. I can't even remember his name. Did you see the incident when he got?
Seen any of it. Don't
there
care.
Was a fella got concussed straight away, and Masher goes, "That's it, we've got no hope now." He's such a key player because the chap that replaced him, he said, massive weak link. So, it's amazing how quickly things went wrong.
What time did you leave the pub, and how many pints had you had?
Nicola made sure she was in the car park at 11:30. So, I think she was aware that I'd had 5 pints by then. I think Nicola knew that if she didn't make an appearance, I might be there for the whole day. So, that's the beauty of having a wife, because my immediate reaction was, I want to drown my sorrows, I'll stay till closing. But I was ferried away.
Oh, blimey, you didn't get involved in all that nonsense, did you, Glenn?
No, not at all. I'm not really a rugby man, if I'm honest, and I was a little bit under the weather on Saturday, spent half the day in bed, so I didn't see, I haven't seen a single ball thrown either, Bruce. Not for me, rugby.
No, it seems to be a bit sort of, you're not allowed to say it's a rubbish sport anymore. We're all really into rugby. But I honestly think it's absolutely crap. It's like British Bulldog. They're just, I remember the rugby I remember when I was a kid, there was flowing moves. They chuck it out to the wing and shimmy past people. But it's just 30 massive, great, hulking people. And you can't get through. So, not for me. Let's talk about a proper sport, golf. So last weekend, we had the big event over in China, and it was a high-class shootout in the end, wasn't it, Steve? Rory and Xander Schauffele going head-to-head down the stretch.
Yeah, very much so, John. Yeah, I mean, Rory loves that track, but he did have a very consistent record there, but it was a winless record. But this time, the field, you call it a WGC, but it was a very weak field in WGC terms, and he took advantage of that. Four solid rounds. Yeah, a really solid four-round performance, and then in the playoff, it was just perfect. I feared for Rory in the playoff because Xander Schauffele is such a tough competitor. But Rory just played that playoff hole perfectly. All credit to him. I mean, his reaction to the first round at Port Rush, we must discuss the figures since then, because a lot of people were suggesting that first round 79 in the Open was so, a potential career killer. It was so mentally damaging. But since then, he's played 37 competitive rounds and he's 121 under par. So, really positive reaction to the Port Rush heartache.
So where do you think that leaves him going into next year, Steve? Is he top dog or, because he's had a funny career, isn't he? He was the boy wonder. He's absolutely superb. And then he had this slump. But is he finding a bit more maturity and consistency in his game now, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Maturity and consistency. And if you'd asked me after the WGC at Southwind a couple of months ago, when Koepka and McIlroy were going down the stretch, and we were on Koepka and Koepka destroyed him, if you'd asked me who was going to be world number one, deep into next year, I would definitely have said Koepka. But since then, McIlroy has really you know, really improved. And yeah, he's won the Tour Championship. Now he's won a WGC. And Cooper, of course, has had this injury problem. And by the time he gets back, McIlroy could be even much closer in the world ranking. So yeah, I think going forward into next year, I think McIlroy by the Masters could be world number one again.
Interesting. Was it a bad result for Star Sports, Glenn, or did you manage to dodge the Fav?
No. I said on the cars last week today, we laid plenty of Rory at sixes. We got close to Caddy. We managed to keep him at sixes all through, but he was a loser. So one for the punters there, but not much in-play action, obviously, with the hours again of the event. It detracts from the in-play business, but yeah, small loser, but no real damage done.
Okay, further down the field, did anybody catch your eye, lads? This guy Schwab is putting in some good performances, isn't he, Steve?
Yeah, Schwab, very solid, very consistent, but still hasn't won on any serious tour. So, until he gets over the line, I'm not sure about Schwab. I don't like him this week. I don't think the course is ideal for him. But yeah, I thought Victor Perez was the big eye catcher again. I mean, he tied for fourth place, another healthy check. He's going from strength to strength since winning the Dunhill Links Championship. And I'm pleased when JP asked me about Victor Perez. And I said that I think he'd be a very good employer. And it's certainly proven that way.
He is. Who caught your eye, Glenn?
I've got two names written down here, Perez and Schwab, obviously both tied fourth, both in their first World Golf Championship event. So, as Steve said, not as strong as they normally are, but still a top quality field. So a good showing, you know, first attempt here. And a bit further down there is Tyrrell Hatton, gradually working his way back into form. Not a particularly good start to the tour, but 68-65 over the weekend was two shots better than Rory. So he wins this time of the year. His turn might not be too far away as well.
Okay, let's have a quick word about the Bermuda Championship, won by Brendan Todd from someone called Harry and someone else called Hank. I never heard of any of the front three. I presume you absolutely cleaned up on that, didn't you, Glenn?
Okay, it was a very, very slow event. We managed to find a couple of guys that backed him in play, only like 8-9-1. But again, a very small loser, 100-1 at the start of the week. Go back a few years, it is as high as 41 in the World Golf Rankings. He was a guy going places and suddenly got the yips, and he hasn't known where it's going apparently for the last 4 or 5 years. String of missed cuts. But yeah, amazing performance at the weekend. That run of 7 birdies on the bounce on the front nine, you know, put the tournament away. And yeah, good luck to him. He could be back on the rise again.
I'm amazed to hear that, Steve, that he got to 41. My memory's not what it was, but I'd never heard of Brendan Todd.
Brendan Todd, yeah, he won the Byron Nelson in 2014, was it? 5 years between victories. But yeah, completely lost his game, got the long game yips, was going to jack it in. Yeah, but then he got a new coach, Bradley Hughes, I believe it was. And the new coach has sorted him out. And amazing one. Yeah, I think Glenn would have been laughing his little cotton socks off there. I don't think anyone would have been interested in Brendan Todd. I mean, McIlroy, obviously, there's a fair chance I would have had McIlroy, but I was nowhere near Brendan Todd. And I was quite pleased to see the Scottie Scheffler and Aaron Wise not win, because I think those two would have been on my radar last week if I'd been getting involved.
Okie dokes. Right, anything else from last week, or should we crack on with the Turkish Airlines Open? Anything you want to add, Steve?
I just think Scheffler and Wise, they tied for third place. Yeah, those two are class acts. Scheffler will win on the PGA Tour very soon, and Aaron Wise is, I remain in my view that he's one of the most promising youngsters in the world. So keep an eye on Scheffler and Wise going forward.
And who are your Bermuda eye catchers, Glenn?
No, real eye catch. I was slightly disappointed with Scheffler, if I'm honest. He got to 10 under on day one and could only get to 16 for the rest of the tournament. Yeah, I'm sure he'll win somewhere online, but at the moment, at the prices that he's being put up at, I can leave him alone. But yeah, no one else really down the field. Weak event, so no one really standing out for me.
All right, then, let's talk Turkey next.
On the move. Follow all the latest starsports.bet golf prices hole by hole on our website and betting app. Just search for Star Sports Bet on the App Store or Google Play. 18 years and older only. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, welcome back. Let's look at the one event taking place this week. It's high class. It's the Turkish Airlines Open as the race to Dubai ticks on. When is the actual Dubai thing, by the way, Steve?
Let's talk Turkey. Very dry meat. Goes well with cranberry. The Dubai World Championship week after next. Nedbank Challenge next week. and then the big one.
Wow, how exciting. So does this tournament matter in terms of, you know, do you get points that will carry across to Dubai? How does it all work?
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yeah, very much so matters. Yeah. This is the start of the final series. This is a big event, big points up for grabs. And then the Nedbank's a big one, and then the biggest of all. And there's three most serious contenders for the Race to Dubai title are Shane Lowry, John Rahm, and Bernd Wiesberger. And Wiesberger's the one that's fully committed. He's entered all three tournaments, so he's going to play all three. Lowry's playing this week, and then the last one. Rahm is just playing the last one, so he's being very casual about it. But nice shootout for Race to Dubai honours.
Okay, Glenn, what's the tournament rating this week?
The tournament rating, a very solid 7.
And the latest betting from Star Sports?
Yeah, each way, 5th the first 6. 8-1, Justin Rose. 11-1, Patrick Reed. 16s, Tyrrell Hatton. 18, Shane Lowry. 20, Matt Wallace. 22, Bernd Wiesberger and Francesco Molinari. 25, Eric Van Rooyen and Matthias Schwab. And 28-1, Danny Willett and Robert McIntyre.
Okay, so it's not entirely star-studded, Steve, is it? I mean, it hasn't got a lot of the very best players in the world, but it's a pretty above-average affair. Take us through what the track is like and what sort of player is likely to thrive.
Indeed, the Montgomery Max Royale. Colin Montgomery is your course designer. 7,133 yards, par 72. It's been used 3 times for this tournament before, 2013, 2014 and 2015. All really low scoring events. It's got 5 par 5s and 5 par 3s, so quite unusual in that respect. The forecast is amazing, as it often is in Turkey. Sunny and warm all week. No breeze to speak of, so absolute birdie fest. I'm looking at attacking powerhouses who should make merry on those 5 par 5s. And there's a 337-yard par 4 as well, the 15th. So, I think the sluggers are going to go bananas.
The three winners at those three tournaments they've staged here, Victor Dubuisson has won twice and Brooks Koepka, so that's quite intriguing. I can't see Victor Dubuisson in the lineup. He's had a bit of a sort of difficult year, hasn't he, Steve? There were times when it looked like he was going to make it. I presume, does he have injury problems?
He's over them now, and he's healthier than ever. He had a few ear problems, didn't he? He had a perforated eardrum. But yeah, he was narrowly, very, very close to getting in this, but failed, unfortunately. It would have been nice to see him there. He would have had a very good chance. It's obviously his happiest hunting ground. But we're going to have to gun for others.
Okay, right then. You've got 3, Steve. How many have you got, Glenn?
I've got just the 2 for me.
2. Okay, Steve, away you go with your headline selection.
Headline selection is Thomas Peters, who I've always been a huge fan of Thomas Peters. Yeah, a potential world beater. Quickly won 3 times on the European Tour. Then he won 4 points on his Ryder Cup debut in a losing side away from home. It is an amazing achievement, which can't be underplayed. He finished 4th on his Masters debut. Then he had this fallow period. He went 3 years without a win. Temperament issues. He was too combustible on the course. He had very high expectations of himself, of course. And it often went from the sublime to the ridiculous. Couldn't string 72 holes together. But this year, he made a real effort to calm down. He's improved his temperament. And in the middle of August, he got back to winning ways. He won the Czech Masters, 19 under par total, smacking driver off every tee, a dominant attacking performance. And crucially, he retained his composure at key moments of that tournament. On the 15th hole of the final round, he hit his drive into trouble, was umming and ahhing over whether to hack it out of the rough, took a penalty drop, hit it at the flag, made par, won the tournament by a shot. It was a really mature performance. And this week he's got a similar track he can attack. He's got those 5 par 5s to gun at. I see him making mincemeat of those long holes. And a 5th European title is up for grabs. He's played the Montgomery match once before. He was 26th in 2015. I think he'd go a lot better than that this week. He didn't play in China. He didn't qualify for China. So he's fresh as a daisy. A lot of players knackered from the HSBC. Peters is not one of them. And he's still only 27. I know you're not a big fan of Peters. You think he's a bit crazy, but he's still only 27. And then, it's important to remember that. When we were 27, we were lunatics, absolute lunatics. And, I think we expect too much from these youngsters.
I suppose so. That's fair enough.
Just because you become a professional golfer, it doesn't mean you become an old man, doesn't it? You see these professional golfers, we expect so much of them from a young age, but you've got to remember they're human beings. But I think Peters has gone through that process of maturing, and I think he's ready to justify the faith I've had in him. I think he's different class.
Okay. I mean, the only thing I would say, Steve, is that I think sometimes it's not so much the talent that makes people professional golfers rather than people who sell Mars bars in the clubhouse and point towards the first tee and moan about how the fact they didn't get on tour. It's the fact that they can just bat. What amazes me is the mental resilience of professional golfers. They make a double bogey. You or I would be swearing and chucking our clubs around and taking chunks out the fairway. They just calmly go on and make a birdie at the next. I mean, it just feels like it's all about temperament. And if your temperament's not there, you just get found out. But you think he's maturing, yeah? You're pleased with what you see.
This is it. Yeah. I think Thomas Beattie technically is a perfect golfer. You know, he's got huge physical attributes, you know, natural power, perfect swing, great touch on and around the greens. But you're right. The thing that's been holding him back in the last 3 years was this explosive temperament. He wasn't the same as other golfers. He would completely jack it in. Like, you know, he'd have rounds in the 80s where he just couldn't be bothered. But yeah, that I've seen really encouraging signs this, you know, the last 6 months that, you know, Peters is going to fulfil his potential.
I did notice, by the way, with amusement the other day, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, I think, he was the, you know, when you go out and there's an odd number of qualifiers that weekend, you just go out on your own, basically, don't you, if you're the last one. And he was in that position. And I looked on the app, I think he completed his round and the next group out was still on the 10th. So he must have pretty much sprinted round.
Yeah, 1 hour and 59 minutes it took him that round. And,
well, see, if he can do it in 1 hour 59, why can't they all? Why is it taking 6 hours for these other snails, eh?
Well, this was the point he was trying to make, because he is a very fast player, and he was literally sprinting up the 18th to beat that two-hour mark, to put the pressure on the snails that you don't have to spend 5-6 hours out there.
And he shot a good round as well. Okay, Glenn, who's your main tip?
I'm going for Kurt Kitayama. Young 27-year-old American, turned pro 2015, tried to make it on home soil 2016-17 seasons on the, as it was then, web.com tour. Minimum success, only two top 20 finishes. At the end of 2017, he was ranked 1,174 in the world. 2018, he joined the Asian Tour, and at his first attempt, won an Asian Development Tour event. Finished that season with four top five finishes. And at the back end of 2018, he finished third at Q School and earned a European Tour card. He gained a first victory on only his second start when he won the Mauritius Open. And just 3 months later, on his 10th start, won the Oman Open, becoming the fastest player in European Tour history to two victories. A recent form of tie 36, tie 21st, tie 14th at the BMW PGA Championship, third in the Italian Open, fourth in the France Open, and tied 28th last week at HSBC Champions. Again, another making a debut in a WGC event. Found a level of consistency now after a string of mid-season missed cuts and in better quality fields. Length off the tee to take advantage of the scoreable holes around here. In five of his last seven events when he's made the cut, he's ranked in the top five in driving distance. At the Italian Open, he ranked fifth in greens in regulation. And at the French Open, ranked seventh in greens in regulation. And also at those two events, he ranked first and fourth in scrambling. A possible area of weakness in his game is his putting, but he did rank second at the KLM Open and more recently 12th at the France Open. And when he gained those two early season wins, he ranked 11th and fourth. He's not played here before, but that's been the case at every course he's faced in the last two seasons. And now ranked 88 in the world, a rise of almost 1,100 places in 2 years, suggests he can adapt. Given another decent week with a flat stick, I see him gaining a third European Tour win, and with it, possibly the Rookie of the Season honours.
OK, you done there, Glenn?
I'm done.
Wow, Thomas Peters would have played four holes in the time that took, but it was absolutely fact-packed. Very good. OK, Steve, who are your other two tips?
I'm glad Glenn mentioned Kurt Kitayama because he was very, very close to selection. So I'm glad we've got him on our team. But my next best is Erik van Rooyen, another player who would be licking his lips at this layout. He's a supreme ball striker, five par fives to devour this week. I'm looking at powerful players who putt well. And van Rooyen has really upped his game on the greens this year. It's become a strength rather than a weakness. He got his maiden European Tour title at the end of August. Huge monkey off his back after lots of near misses. And he courageously fended off Matt Fitzpatrick in the final round of that tournament, much to my chagrin, because I was on Fitzpatrick that week. But that was a really gutsy win from van Rooyen. I think he'll kick on from here and become a multiple champion. He's even started playing well in majors. He was eighth in the USPGA this year. He was 20th in the Open, and he's stalking the top 50 of the world ranking. So, yeah, I like Van Ruin. Like Kitayama, he's making his Montgomery Max debut, but this is a great layout for him.
Okay, and who else have you got?
And the final one is George Coetzee. I've only got three against the field. Another South African. It could be a big week for the South Africans here. Obviously full of beans after their rugby successes. And Coetzee had a particularly good weekend because he also won a Sunshine Tour event at the weekend. He opened with a 61, cruised to a three-shot victory. And it was a win that had been coming because he'd been playing well on the European Tour. He finished third in the French Open. And then 14th in the Portugal Masters when we were on him. So, yeah, gorgeous George, as I like to call him, has clearly found his A game. And the Montgomery Max is excellent terrain for him. He was 12th there in 2013, and yeah, it sets up perfectly for him. So, like Peter's going for a fifth European Tour title.
Excellent. Is he gorgeous?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big, cuddly, gorgeous George. Wasn't there a horse called that? George Washington. Was there a famous horse called everyone called Gorgeous George? I can't remember. I'm sure there was a horse a few years ago.
There was a horse called George Washington. I don't know whether it was called Gorgeous George.
Was,
yeah,
I'm
George,
sure there was a
few. Won the QE2 Stakes Ascot, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's a few Brian. Characters in the office. There's a few characters in the office used to call him that. And yeah, I've sort of given that name to George Coetzee now.
Fair enough. Lovely. Who's your other selection, Glenn?
The other one, Steve doesn't like. He's already said so. Matthias Schwab. Having a good second season on to 9 top 10s, including 5 top 5s, all of which have come in his last 12 starts. Current form, tied 5th, tied 8th, tied 2nd, tied 28th. Miscut, tie fourth. Again, as we've already alluded to, tie fourth last week in his first World Golf Championship event, which was a low-scoring affair, which is similar to what it'll be this week. Four of the last five events where he's made the cut, he's ranked in the top 10 in greens in regulation. The three of the last six events where he's made the cut, he's ranked top 7 in scrambling. Again, a little bit iffy with a putter, so an area of his game that's open to improvement. But last week, against the top quality field, he ranked 8th in putts per green in regulation, in 3rd in putts per round. So signs of improvement there. 18th in this event last year, shooting 4 rounds in the 60s. Of course, not too dissimilar. And surely it's a matter of when and not if this young Austrian gains his first win. And it could be as soon as this week.
Lovely. Thank you, Glenn. Let's spin through the runners at the head of the field. Justin Rose, Steve, has won this for the last 2 years, albeit at a different track. He goes into this a single-digit favourite, but his recent form's a bit sketchy, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so, John. I mean, his Turkey form figures are 1-3-1-1 because they had the Turkish Airlines World Golf Final in 2013, little match play event that he won that. Then he's won the last two editions of this, as you say, at a different course. But his one spin at the Montgomery Max was 3rd place. So he's got the course form. He's certainly got the country form, but the current form is questionable. Very inconsistent from tee to green. He's putting better than ever. But his previously rock-solid long game, which made him the champion that he is, has deserted him at the moment. And in China last week, he got progressively worse, 69, 70, 71, 73. And I think he's easy to pass over this week. We've had some really strong favourites lately, Justin Thomas in the CJ Cup, Rory McIlroy last week. But for me, Rose was quite easy to ignore this week.
OK, big Patrick Reed, Glenn. He's out on his own as second favourite. Can you see him challenging?
Yeah, there's no reason why he shouldn't have an OK week, but Northern Trust win was followed by only decent form. He had a few goes in Europe. He's playing well, seems tee to green, but he's not so good with a putter, which is usually a real strength for his game. Obviously, if that improves this week, you can see him contending. Rightfully, he sits second in the market, I think, but short enough for me.
OK, Shane Lowry's third favourite, Steve, obviously our Open champion this year. Since then, he's obviously had a nice time to celebrate. And since he's come back, a lot of finishes in the teens, but not really actually challenging.
Yeah, he's just been drifting along lately, and he finished 43rd last week in the HSBC. He's obviously keen to win the race to Dubai, right in the shake-up for that. He was 8th last time he played the Montgomery Max. As I said earlier, I want big hitters who putt well. And Lowry certainly doesn't fit into that category.
OK, Tyrrell Hatton, you mentioned earlier on that you thought he played quite well last week. So was he close to getting on the shortlist this week, Glenn?
Yeah, again, really just price that pulled me off a bit. Third in, again, probably rightly so. Wins, as I said, all these wins have come in October, so this time of the year. Recent form, 15th, 18th, 6th, 14th. Driving the ball well. His iron play is good. Everything about his game suggests he's very, very close. But say, just a little bit on the skinny side for a guy who hasn't won for a little while.
Glenn, tell me a little bit about that. You said he's, all his wins are coming in October. I know Jeremy and Steve at various times have mentioned when they're tipping players that they go well at a particular time of year. Is there any science behind that, or is it just coincidence? You know, how much weight do you put into that?
I think you can sometimes, not so much in this occasion, it's just a little stat you can throw in there, because he's won the Dunhill Links twice. Obviously, it comes this time of the year. If he's suited to those courses, obviously, there, and he nearly won it again for a third time, didn't he? So that's more coincidence, but his other win happened to come this time of year. If he was going to win this week, you say, yeah, perhaps he does get going this time of the year. But yeah, at the moment, I say it's more a coincidence with Hatton, and I'd certainly look into it. I mentioned it last week with Matsuyama. He had loads of wins all over everywhere at this time of the year. So, like, he keeps going for the end of, till the end of the year, where plenty of guys, I think, are ready to put their feet up, having had a long season. So, yeah, sometimes.
Biorhythms, lads. Biorhythms.
Biorhythms. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah. Humans go through the year at different paces. You know, certain, you know, peaks and troughs, but certain times of the year they're in peak mental and physical condition.
When's October, your prime time?
October. Yeah. Just October. My tipping record in October is absolutely sublime. So yeah, I'm a big believer in biorhythms, and yeah, I wouldn't rule out Hatton having another good autumn.
Okay, Steve, talk to me about Matt Wallace, another player with a fairly volcanic temperament.
Yeah, Matt Wallace, he's winless this year. Seemingly got a lot going on between the ears. He's been trying a new putting method. He's been using the aim point method lately. So I'm a little bit frustrated on the greens. And he shot second round 84 in China last week, which was quite alarming. Whenever you see a player shoot in the 80s, it's very, very off-putting. And he finished 60th of 78 last week. So yeah, Wallace wouldn't be for me. I think Hatton is the most dangerous of the Englishmen.
If you want a player with a perfect temperament, Francesco Molinari, one of those impassive guys who just never seems to get a sweat on. Could you have him at all this week, Glenn?
He was quite close, but he's just not driving the ball as well as he was when he was playing really well last year. That lets me down. He could get done for a bit of length as well this week. But I did notice he'd been putting really well, which used to be a weakness in his game. So it's one of those, all elements of his game need to align. Yeah, he was close, but not close enough.
Okay, a couple more. Oh, go on.
Can I just chip in? I just wondered if Glenn knew Molinari got rid of his long-time caddy. Yeah, he's reacted to this bad spell of form. He's had,
what, you know, Dennis Pugh?
No, it's caddy. His caddy. He's got rid of his caddy.
Oh, his caddy. Sorry, Dennis Pugh caddy.
Since the Masters, I mean, obviously he lost that duel to Tiger in the Masters, didn't he? And he's had no top 10 since the Masters. And he missed the cut in the Italian Open, which was a bit of a blow for him. So yeah, he's got rid of his long-time caddy. So the caddy had all that success with, and he's moved on. So yeah, I think Molinari is looking forward to the close season, and he can hit the reset button.
Okay, Steve Wiesberger, obviously is Glenn's a big Wiesberger fan. Are you a big fan of his this week?
Glenn's love child. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Wiesberger. I mean, he seems to be the most motivated of these Race to Dubai candidates. As I mentioned, he's the only one playing all the events through to Dubai. So, but I just wonder if a bit of burnout might kick in. He shot a 75 on Sunday in China. I don't know whether he's a bit jaded now.
Okay.
And, his last two stabs at the Montgomery Max, he finished outside the top 50.
Okay, and finally, a player who I have been backing religiously all year long, big Bobby McIntyre. What do you think of his chances this week, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, primarily thought he was more of a links type player, but recently, wherever he's teed it up, he's played really well. He just got a good all-round game. He's driving it further. He said that in the European Open on interview. He's got a good short game. He putts really well. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't put you off. I like you, Bruce. I haven't backed him every week, but I like watching him. I'm a big fan of his. And again, as I've said with Schwab, it's a matter of when, and not if he wins a European Tour event.
Okay, let's recap the selections. Steve, who are you going for?
If you wanted five, I must mention Thomas Detry. I think it's dangerous maiden this week. Maiden hasn't won a European Tour final series event since 2015. That was the stat which put me off. So Thomas Detry and Kitayama are dangerous. And if you want five, add those two. But the three, if you want three, go for three. Go for Thomas Peters, Erik van Ruwen, and George Kutsia.
And Glenn, you've got two, and they are?
To Kurt Kitayama and Matthias Schwab.
And if you're only having one golf bet this week, Steve, who would it be?
It would be Thomas Peters each way. I think Thomas Peters is arguably, this is going to shock you what I'm going to say, this is why I say arguably, I'm going to get arguably the best player in the field. You know, I think by the time all this lot have hung up their foot joys, he might have more major titles than anyone.
Blimey. Glenn, who's your one bet?
I've actually had a Trixie this week. I'm throwing in a few other bets. Kurt Kitayama, Francesco Laporta in the Challenge Tour Grand Final, and Jerry Kelly in the round bellies.
Sorry, you're going to have to give me those other two legs. You've got Kitayama in the tournament we've been talking about. You've just sprung two new names on me. Who are they and what are they
playing?
That's
my bet. Francesco Laporta. He finished seventh in the Italian Open. I nearly put him up. Played really well. Solid game. Hadn't won anywhere in the world, though, at that point. So I left him off of my portfolio, and he went and won the following week on the Challenge Tour.
What's he playing in?
In the Challenge Tour Grand Final. Limited field as well, only 35 runners there.
And everyone's betting on that, are they?
Yeah. Okay. All betting on that. And the same with the round bellies. Jerry Kelly, another guy. Every time I catch a glimpse of what's going on with him guys, he's always playing well. It's a player I've always liked. Wisconsin native. I'm going for it.
What's that tournament called?
The Charles Schwab Cup Championship.
Charles Schwab Cup. Okay. A Trixie, is that sensible? Because surely they're all going to be fairly big prices. If you get one winner, shouldn't you be doing a patent, really?
Yeah, I'll have singles of varying stakes, yeah, but the Trixie is the big earner.
Cool, that's a real retirement job, that, isn't it?
Hopefully.
Are you going to get involved in those fringe events, Steve, or just stick with the main one?
No, I'm just sticking with the main one. I'm not rolling in cash at the moment, so I can't play on the peripherals.
Fair enough. What does the week hold, Steve?
First weekend with no commitment, so looking forward to it. I think it's a bit of a firework night on Friday night, but then it's
not still fireworks, surely.
Yeah, firework nights lingering. No, I couldn't do last, kicking off too late. Kicked off at 8 p.m, which is past everyone's bedtime. So, got to go Friday night instead.
Absolutely sick of fireworks, I tell you, honestly.
Well, you're a dog lover, aren't you? Your dog's still alive.
Bloody nightmare. It really, really is. I had to make Molly this ludicrous sort of tent thing yesterday. I had to get a blanket and put it between the puff and the sofa and then bury up one end with cushions so that it was like a sort of kennel, basically. And it was only...
They're all still alive, though. Are they all still alive?
You shouldn't be able to buy explosives in shops. It's absolutely ridiculous. Where do you stand, Glenn? Do the cats get afraid?
Yeah, I've got good cats. Yeah, obviously, I live just outside Lewis, so they have a major...
Oh, that's nuts what they do there, isn't it? That is really weird.
Our youngest one, I mean, you can't keep him in at the moment, but he never wanted to go near the back door last night. So he didn't look particularly scared, but he obviously knew what was going on and didn't want to know. So, I agree with you a bit there, Bruce. Especially if you've got animals, it's horrible. I've seen some of the ones we've had in the past have been absolutely terrified. It's not good to see.
It's not good to see at all. By the way, Glenn, I haven't spoke to you for quite a while. When we last broadcast together, you were saying that your better half had a little surprise lined up for you at the weekend. Could you remember what it is? Can you reveal?
Yeah, she spent all my money, Bruce. she goes to Goodwood every year, Glorious Goodwood, for a day with her sister. They stay in the same place every year, but they couldn't book in for next year. So she wanted to do a little recce at a place they've signed up for so far for next year. So we did that, had a bit of lunch. Then she collared me on the way home. Would you like another pint? We're going to this little pub just outside Uckfield. On the way, we had a nice little stop off at the Sussex Bed Centre, which I'm sure was planned, and relieved me of a nice few quid.
One thing led to another.
Yeah, redecorating the bedroom, basically. So, the landowner with his word in the pocket for too long. Well, they were gone before I even won it.
Well, it sounds like a pretty pleasant surprise.
It was a nice day, yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Right then. What have we got next week? We've got the Nedbank Golf Challenge in South Africa, and then the PGA Tour goes down to Mexico for the Mayakoba Golf Classic. Are you two both on duty for that?
Very much so. Very much so, yeah.
Glenn, you'll be back next week?
Yeah, I'm back here next week, Bruce. Yeah.
Great. Lovely stuff.
Matt Kuchar back next week to see if he gets the local caddy again. Matt Kuchar playing in the market.
Yeah, that's right. He won it last year and he was meant to give the caddy 100 grand and gave him about a monkey, didn't he?
Yeah, so we'll see if Kuchar survives that tournament.
Blimey. Okay, I'll be with you on Thursday for the football postcast, and on Friday we've got loads of great racing as well, so join us for those. Stay tuned on YouTube, Spotify and Apple Podcasts for all that. Until then, good luck with all your golf wagers.
Give them the hole!
Long-term golf markets for 2020 available now on starsports.bet, including the Open, the Masters and the Ryder Cup from Wisconsin. 18 years and older only, begambleaware.org.